When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
Another world, another time, in the age of wonder.
There was once a dream, you could only whisper it. Anything more than a whisper, and it would vanish.
A battle between good and evil.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
Where shall I find a new adversary so close to my own level?
Try the local sewer.
You know of the rebellion against the Empire?
The Avengers, Earth's mightiest heroes.
Peace means having a bigger stick than the other guy.
One of these days, I'm gonna have a stick of my own.
I'm Groot.
Welcome to the Neverland Podcast. The podcast for lovers of Disney, Pixar, Marvel, and Star Wars.
I'm glad you're here to tell us these things.
Please welcome your host, Jeremy.
I thought he'd be taller.
Yeah, I can fly.
All it takes is faith and trust.
Well, if it isn't the Star-Spangled Man with a plan, what is your plan today?
Up to Neverland!
Take your pixie out of your pocket, Neverlanders, and sprinkle some of that pixie dust around. Think up your hat.
Jeez.
I'm going to make myself cough doing that. I was trying to be cute and clever, but that didn't work. Okay.
Sound like an old man gasping for air.
I was trying to give this overdramatic H your happiest thought. And let's fly away to Neverland as soon as I'm breathing again.
Jeez.
Oh, guess what? That's the Windy Nerd. Hi, Heather.
Hi.
See, I brought my wife along today to fly with us. Because
it's been a while.
It's been a while because we had a fun conversation we were having at lunch. And I decided that, you know what, that's going to be our fun episode for the day. I have been thinking, you know, it's Valentine's Day weekend, but by the time you listen to it, Valentine's Day weekend will be over.
Yeah.
And I'm still going to come back to a topic idea that I'm borrowing from PlayStation Access. It's real great if you like to play video games and you like the PlayStation. They had this thing of your video game boyfriends. And I thought, well, what about video game girlfriends? And Eric and I will probably have that conversation. I think we'll have a good time with that one. But obviously, Eric's not here this time. He probably would be available if I bugged him. He's having a pretty good 3-day weekend. Apparently he went to California. He's already flown back. But we're going to have Eric back on the show very, very soon. I know. But I thought this fun conversation that we were having at lunch would be fun to share with y'all. But
kind of that conversation led to our conversation.
Yeah, it kind of did. Kind of did. And even when I was talking to you while I was in the shower and you were sitting in the bathroom, you know. We had a conversation while I was kind of showering, like, oh, hang on, because I was talking about video game stuff, and I said, would you be able to come up with video game boyfriends? And we couldn't come up with any for you, but
I don't play enough video games to come up with
boyfriends. Yeah, but we did have a conversation about, you know, we started with Disney princesses and then Disney heroines, and we talked about some things we like about them and some favorites, and we didn't really get a compiled list of favorites, but it could be a fun conversation, and so we're just going to dive right into that later. But before we get into that, we do, of course, have some news to talk about.
Spanning the Disney and geek universe to bring you the best in comics, toys, movies, and entertainment. This is news from around Neverland.
So the first thing I want to get into, because this thing that I think is it the thing I'm most excited about? I don't know. Maybe. But okay, so CBS, and I should have except for CBS to record the entire interview, because there was only a snippet that CBS released of sitting down with Mr. Harrison Ford.
Yay!
And it's a good conversation about how he considers fans now to be more customers that, you know, hey, these guys are coming to my business, and so I owe them to doing good, which I think is a good attitude, but I don't know that he's always had, because it seems like he didn't really want to do much with the fans before with Star Wars, like, oh, all this stuff. But coming back to Roland, I think he likes playing Indiana Jones more than he does Han Solo, from what I'm observing, that's what I think. But he's sitting there talking, and he gets asked about what it's like to return to a character and what the difficulty is, and he says the difficulty is really trying to not look silly in, you know, tight pants, which is
and
fine.
High heels. And high heels.
That kind of thing. But he says, in 2 months, I'm coming back to play Indiana Jones. So we knew Indy 5 was coming.
Yay!
They started filming in 2 months, which I'm taking that as April, because, you know, this interview probably happened in February. So that would be April.
Mid-April, yeah.
Yay!
Yeah. No, I liked it too, him saying that about the fans, and sometimes, I don't know, I feel like in the artistic entertainment world that there's become an attitude of this is the art, this is the movie that you need, as opposed to something that we would want as a, you know, as a consumer, as people who enjoy entertainment, enjoy the arts, and that's kind of, I think that's ruined some good ideas, but he's always seemed to be a little introverted to me.
Yeah, he's very quiet and stuff, but
yeah, not wanting to be out there so much with the fans, like maybe because
fly his planes and let alone. Yeah,
but I can understand that. I mean, I'm an introvert. Like I get wanting your private time and your personal, you know, space and all. I get that.
Yeah, but I do appreciate that we know nothing other than the fact it's Indiana Jones 5.
And that's enough for
Surprise
us, honestly.
Me. Until they reveal a title at some point, just to tease me a little bit, you know. Build the excitement for me slowly.
Just no aliens. I mean, interdimensional beings.
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
And no more Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
There's a lot to... I still had fun with that fourth movie.
I didn't hate him.
I didn't hate the movie, but yeah, it's problematic. But but I'm ready to forget it and move on to Indy 5.
Yeah, if they can capture the feel of the first three, then I think they're going to be in a good place. Fourth
and
one,
please
just
tell me Spielberg is... I'm pretty sure Spielberg's coming along to direct, because you can't do it without Spielberg.
Yeah.
I don't know who came along for story. I don't know if they talked to George at all. I haven't heard anything about like that.
I don't know. Maybe it's okay if George is not
But you have to
involved.
Have Spielberg.
Yeah.
And Spielberg has worked with Disney.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see Spielberg coming along, and because he did that BFG movie, which I enjoyed. I thought it was an adorable movie. I don't have anything bad to say about that movie. I thought it was fun. So, other things coming back is Emilio Estevez is coming back. Now, I vaguely remember the Mighty Ducks movies. I watched each one maybe once. And they're not bad.
I only watched the first one.
The second one was still good. I mean, they're fun. I know there's some big fans for it, and it was enough of a big fandom that they made that cartoon, which I didn't watch. But there are some people I've noticed who are excited that Emilio Estevez is coming back, because there's going to be a Mighty Ducks series on Disney Plus, and it will follow up after the show.
Okay.
So I don't know that Emilio Estevez is coaching the team again. Maybe so. This is from Variety. It says the new Mighty Ducks is set in present day Minnesota, where the Mighty Ducks have evolved from scrappy underdogs to an ultra competitive powerhouse youth hockey team. After 12-year-old Evan, Brady Noon, is unceremoniously cut from the Ducks, he and his mom Alex, Lauren Graham, set out to build their own ragtag team of misfits to challenge the cutthroat win at all cost culture of competitive youth sports. Wait, what? So the Mighty Ducks have become what they were fighting against?
Apparently.
Okay.
But that is feasible, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it is feasible because you see this happen.
Because they win championships in two different movies.
Yeah. I mean, you see this happen
with
clubs and whatever that they're kind of under, and then they get to be the adult. You know, they're not the adult. They're underdogs, and then they're the big dogs, and then they kind of forget where they came from. You know, I can see that.
Well, this is coming from ABC Signature Studios, and Steve Brill, who created the original franchise, is on board as co-creator. And executive producer Josh Goldsmith and Kathy Uspa are also co-creators and are set to showrun. James Griffiths and Michael Spiller will serve as executive producers, with Griffiths directing. George Heller and Brad Petragala of Brillstein and Entertainment Partners and Jordan Kerner also serve as non-writing executive producers. So it's coming, and you know, I'll give it a watch. I'll give a look at it. Why not? You know, it could be fun because I do remember enjoying the two movies. I guess I don't watch a whole lot of sport movies.
Has never been my big.
Yeah, it's not like
my big thing. I mean,
but they were fun. They were enjoyable movies.
I don't know. So. I just watched it the one time, and I just don't really remember enjoying it all that much. But once again, like, I mean, the sports movies just have never been a big thing
but
for me.
But I did have fun with those movies. They are good movies.
Yeah.
So Guy Ritchie, who directed the live-action Aladdin, is coming back to do another Aladdin movie. And right now they're kind of thinking about trying to integrate some of the other 1001 Arabian Nights tales, which... you're going to stick Aladdin into stories that he wasn't there, but I guess they kind of did it because they did have like him with the thieves, mm-hmm. the 40 thieves. Personally, you know, one of their biggest home video successes was Return of Jafar. Mm-hmm. I would almost think that they would maybe play with that, but a lot of people did not like the actor who played Jafar. Personally, I didn't think the movie was that good anyway. I'm not.
Well, the sequels, I don't know. I just didn't really hold up to me as well as the original.
I did watch the cartoon ones. Return of Jafar was pretty good. I do remember watching it on a bus trip, big long thing. But you know, it made enough enough moolah, I guess, to warrant them doing a sequel. But I don't see myself going to it because I wasn't that impressed with it.
No,
the best part was the Prince Ali scene. That was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And some of the dance number things were good. That's, I think, maybe, I don't know, the Friend Like Me scene just, it didn't work for me.
There was so much of Will Smith in it. I think I said that when we talked about it. There's so much of, not Will Smith, there's so much of,
Will
Smith is entertaining as himself, but trying to make him like Robin Williams, that's the mistake. You can't duplicate Robin Williams.
Yeah, well, you just can't. And I don't think they tried to duplicate Robin Williams, but it so much of what Robin Williams had done is what made Friend Like Me work, and it just didn't work for me. But I think they did a great job with the Prince Ali parade. Yes. I loved that.
That was
and
great.
The ending was fun when they all come out like a cat curtain call and dance. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some good stuff in there.
There's some fun stuff in there, yeah.
But I don't know. Overall, I was just like, yeah, it's okay. I'd rather go watch the animated. Here comes the sequel. But I would be okay with
pull another story from the Arabian Nights. You know, 1001 Arabian Nights.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. But I want animated, really.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because they might. I don't know. I'll see. You know, if I see something in good, but their Aladdin to me was their character, their guy, he was boring.
Like Sinbad the Sailor, I think the last time, when did they do that? Like it was stop motion, claymation, something like that.
Yeah, and I would rather they did that instead of, it's Aladdin and Sinbad the Sailor. I'd rather they didn't do that. I'd rather they just do a Sinbad the Sailor. Go ahead and do those stories. That'd be cool. I'd like to see them, but I don't need Aladdin and Jasmine thrown into it for giggles.
Or maybe like, you know, Will Smith is telling the story as the genie. And go from there.
I can go with that.
Because, you know, they kind of set him up as the storyteller at the beginning of that one.
Yeah.
And maybe this is another story.
I can get behind that, but I don't need Aladdin and Jasmine in the story.
Yeah. No, it would be a different.
So, we'll see. But I'm not entirely big with Guy Ritchie and really with much of what he's done anyway.
Okay.
Mr. Madonna. Anyway, moving on. All right, so now we're going to dive into non-Disney. And let me get this just out of the way first, because this has been the talk of social media. We've got a look at Robert Pattinson in some test footage in his bat suit. And I'm going to have the unpopular opinion to say I'm not that impressed. The suit kind of looks neat, and I like they've done some different things with it and kind of technological. And there's stuff in the bat symbol that people are questioning if it looks like it would have pieces of the gun that killed his parents, which to me is completely bonkers of an idea, so I'm going to say no, because would you want to wear something that killed your parents? No. And how would he even get a hold of that gun?
I don't know. I didn't really like the look of it. It's a little too much. I guess I like the Batman with the smooth, you know, bat symbol.
Yeah.
Like that.
I did like the Christian Bale suit because I liked the realism to it.
Uh-huh.
That they were trying to take an idea. And this one, I think they were trying to go that way. The collar is a different take. Mm-hmm. He had kind of a collar when you look, but that I think they've done that because now that cover, you know, hides his neck and it looks like he's got freedom of movement for his head. Mm-hmm. And I like that idea. But somehow or other, the mask between that and Robert Pattinson's face somehow didn't look, I mean, because Robert Pattinson, I could see him as a Bruce Wayne. I could totally see that. But somehow or another, the bat suit didn't look right on him.
And see, I didn't really see much wrong with it. Actually, I've seen some of the other Batmans that have worn the suit. When I look at their, you know, like the lower part of their face coming out of the mask, like it looks weirder to me.
Yeah. And that was an unfortunate thing with Christian Bale, as they made the mouth area too small. And I guess it would hide features, but it made him look puckered up. He was like...
Christian Bale was a good Batman.
Yeah, he was a pretty I didn't care for the voice thing he did. I appreciate what he was doing though.
Yeah, you're trying to
but
hide
it gets
voice.
Hard to listen to after a while when he starts having complete sentence. You're standing against crime in Gotham City. That got so horrible. Mm. As good as the movies were, him trying to do that voice and he had to breathe, it was terrible.
It might have been better if he had like a voice little modulator or something like that.
Yeah, with what they did with Ben Affleck. Yeah. He had it with a voice modulator, which I thought was weird. Kevin Conroy. You're just not going to beat the Kevin. Michael Keaton did a good thing, a cool thing with his voice, but Kevin Conroy perfected the difference between, hi, I'm Bruce Wayne, and I'm Batman. And it was just bringing, as he talked about in an interview, it's that darker corner of a man's personality. And he just brought his voice down. It was more stern. And if you find a live-action actor who can do that, maybe Robert Pattinson will pull that off. Mm-hmm. If he pulls that off, I'm sold. Mm-hmm. But Kevin Conroy.
I know. It's hard for those of us who grew up, we were teens, tweens, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, at the time.
I was high school life in the animated series.
It was kind of like Michael Keaton was our first Batman for our generation.
Well, no, he wasn't first Batman. I was watching Adam West.
Yeah.
When I was a kid.
Well, for our generation. It came out for our generation.
For live action movies.
Yeah, so you have Michael Keaton, and then you had Kevin Conroy, who's followed up, you know, shortly after that with the animated series. Like, that was
and
our
I
Batman.
Still like Val Kilmer as Batman.
I love Val Kilmer.
I love, you know, because Val Kilmer. We just love Val Kilmer.
I love Val Kilmer.
So him as Batman, I was cool with because you know, Michael Keaton, he's someone you cast because you want a really good Bruce Wayne. And someone who could really play that. And he made a pretty decent Batman.
Yeah.
No, Val Kilmer is the guy you cast because you're used to seeing him play some action. You can more believe him as Batman. Mm-hmm. And Christian Bale, I think he made a pretty good Batman. But Christian Bale is a good actor.
Yeah.
I mean, so.
I didn't mind Ben Affleck. Now that I've seen
he was too bad
but
as
him
a Batman.
As Batman for everybody that was like, ew, Ben Affleck, I think he did fine.
Yeah, he did okay.
I think he did fine.
I'm not a big Ben Affleck fan, but I mean, he wasn't bad. Mm-hmm. And the suit kind of looked cool. I mean, because they did it for
fine.
That thing. So,
yeah.
You know, but that brings another thing. It's within 10 years, are we now on our like third Batman?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, come on. But anyways, all right, moving on. We'll get give him some time. You know, we'll see what he looks like when they get a full teaser out instead of just a camera test. Mm-hmm. Although, Michael Giacchino apparently doing music, and apparently the music we heard is some of the music he's been working on. And Michael Giacchino, he is almost like the next, I mean, he's studied under John Williams.
That's always a good sign.
I love all his work on Incredibles. He's gotten to work on a lot of really great movies. He knows how to do a big movie. I want to hear what Michael Giacchino comes up with. And let him do a big Batman theme. That's something superhero movies, I feel, I've been let down, is not many of them have that big superhero theme and moments to use it, other than Avengers has had some moments to be able to bring up. Because you can hear the Avengers theme in your head if I say something. But these new Spider-Man movies, can you think of what the theme of that is? Other than the fact that they maybe have sometimes copied the original 60s theme and done that instrumentally, a lot of these other new characters, there's not a big theme compared to, like, the last time I think we had a big theme for a character. Well, okay, the newer, the Christian Bale Batman movies, you got a music, there's a tone, but there wasn't a big theme compared to when you hear the theme from the Spider-Man original, Sam Raimi films, or the original Batman films, or Superman.
Nothing that stands out.
There's no standout themes.
That catches your ear.
Giacchino, unleash the Giacchino, because he can do a big... I mean, because I say Incredibles, you know that tune. Da-da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. Giacchino can do it. So let Giacchino loose. Let him make a Batman theme. I'm sorry, am I spit when I speak?
Yes, you are.
I spit when I speak. You've had spit on from me before. Okay, but moving on. So this, I just found today, Jesse posted this to our Facebook page, and I was like, please tell me they're not teasing me. And I went to look at IMDb. We have a cast list for the Master of the Universe Revelation series that Kevin Smith is making.
Ooh.
So This isn't quite the order I originally saw them, but we'll just go through it. So Dietrich Bader is Trapjaw. Dietrich Bader, he as much fun as he was. I loved him on the Drew Carey Show. He's very funny. Even in Napoleon Dynamite, he's hilarious. Yeah. But him as a voice actor is really good, and he can use that good deep voice. He even made a good Batman on Batman the Brave and the Bold. I liked that series. It was fun. But it was more comedic, that series. It was fun, but he made a pretty good Batman for the style that they were doing. And so Dietrich Bader as Trapjaw, I'm excited. Kevin Conroy is Merman. You're looking at me, you don't know who Merman is.
Okay, I gotcha.
He was a big fish guy. Liam Cunningham is Man-at-Arms. I am not familiar with him. Susan Eisenberg is the Sorceress. Now, I'm going to look her up because she sounds familiar. Susan Eisenberg. I think she's done a lot of voices. She's done some World of Warcraft. Injustice 2, she's the voice of Wonder Woman. Did she do the first Injustice as well? Wonder Woman TV series from 2013? I don't recall that at all. She was Wonder Woman in Injustice. Mass Effect 3, Golden Axe Beast Rider, or Star Wars The Force Unleashed. She was the voice of Shaak-Ti. Nice.
That was
for a video game.
So some
Command & Conquer, Superman, Batman, Apocalypse. She was voice of Wonder Woman. So she's voiced a lot of Wonder Woman. That's probably where I know her from. Justice League Unlimited, she was Wonder Woman. Okay, so she's been the voice we know, really, as Wonder Woman for years and years. That's cool. So she's the Sorceress. I'm pretty excited about that. That's pretty cool. Sarah Michelle Gellar is Teela. I like that. Yay. Because I don't know if she's gotten to do much voice rest. Her husband, though, has gotten to be Star Wars now. Because he was Kanan, and I know she's like pointing at the next one. I know she's getting excited. On the list, yes, Skeletor is Mark Hamill.
Woohoo!
Yeah,
you know he's gonna do good.
He's gonna be a great Skeletor. Yes. You blue-footed booby, which is a bird, by the way, y'all. But he would call people though. You boob. Stupid booby. Alan Oppenheimer, I heard, even came up with some of those himself. Alan Oppenheimer, by the way, yes, Moss Man, he's still there. Alan Oppenheimer, the original Skeletor. Okay, but moving on. Lena Headey as Evil-Lyn. Now, Lena Headey. Why do I know Lena Headey? Looks even familiar in the face. Let's see. Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Oh, she's Mondra Farah. She's a voice in the Dark Crystal Age of... I can't think of who Mondra Farah is. She's probably one of the Gelflings, though, I guess.
She's the one... is it the Stone in the Wood... which has a dark hair. Like, she's one of the Madras that sticks around the majority of the time.
I only watched it the one time, so.
Yeah. I don't remember. I've lost how many times I've watched that over and over again.
Oh, and she played Sarah Connor in the Sarah Connor Chronicles, the Terminator TV series that I watched like one or two episodes. She's got a lot of different things that I don't think I watched. But she's in Game of Thrones, but I haven't watched that. I played Guinevere in that Merlin TV miniseries. That's probably the one that had Sam Neill as Merlin. Very, very cool. But, all right, so we've seen some stuff with her before. But I knew I'd heard of her. Okay, Phil LaMarr as Hero. All right, Phil LaMarr. Heather's drawn a blank. Samurai Jack.
Oh, okay.
And so much more.
Okay.
Let's go. Phil LaMarr, he used to be on Mad TV. He's very funny. He was on Mad TV. He would do all kinds of characters. But let's see. So, let me pull out some stuff. Oh, he's played Jon Stewart in Superman Red Son. He's currently in that Harley Quinn DC network thingy, playing Black Manta. But where's fine stuff that you would know him from? Oh, he's been the Flash in the DC Superhero Girls. The Supergirl, he's been popping up in that. Some additional voices in Frozen 2. Oh, he did a Spider-Man TV series short, even. Trying to find stuff that I know you would have known him for. Because he's done lots of... Oh, he even got to voice Dormammu in a Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, which I haven't gotten to play yet. I'm still in 2019. He does so much, so many voices, that it's, getting all these... Getting back to stuff that I... Because there are other things I know that he's done that you would know. And yeah, and this is exciting when I'm scrolling down. Oh, he's played Lucius Fox before. I need to scroll down a lot further. Well, there was Samurai Jack when they brought it back. But yeah, he's been Samurai Jack.
Okay, that's fine. But, Samurai Jack is all you need to tell me. Like,
He was Baxter Stockman in that the newer Ninja Turtles that Nickelodeon had as well. But yeah, he's done so many voices on so many different things. So that's, oh, wow, he even got to be Bail Organa on Star Wars The Clone Wars. He sounded just like the original actor, even. That's pretty cool. There we go. Hermes. That's what I was looking for. Hermes Conrad in Futurama.
Okay.
He was Hermes.
All right.
I wanted to get to that one. Okay, moving along. All right, Justin Long as Roboto. I love that they have all these other characters that didn't really get much in the old cartoons. Justin Long, Dodgeball. He was a skinny guy. He used to be in some commercials. Gotcha. Jason Mewes, of course, is in it because, you know, Kevin Smith. He's playing Stinkor. Oh, Kevin had to do that to his buddy Jason Mewes. That's Jay.
Yeah, Silent Bob and Jay. I gotcha.
All right, Griffin Newman is Orko. I'm not familiar with that guy. Alan Oppenheimer is Moss Man, as we said before. Kevin Michael Richardson is Beast Man. Perfect. Should I pull up some of his voices?
Okay.
Kevin Michael, he's a great voice. Henry Rollins, though, is Triclops. That's awesome. Stephen Root. He took his stapler and he's Cringer.
Oh, that's perfect.
He's a talking Cringer again.
That's perfect.
Well, because Kevin Smith said he wanted to follow up from the original series, so Cringer gets to talk. But Stephen Root will be a great Cringer. Mm-hmm. Oh! Alicia Silverstone for Queen Marlena. Nice. Harley Quinn Smith as Aelina. Tiffany Smith as Andra. Why does that... I don't know if I know who that is. Kree Summer, Priestess. She's done a lot of voices for a lot of different things. Chris Wood is He-Man. Now, let me take a look here at Chris Wood. I don't recognize him. I want to know what... I want to think about what his voice sounds like.
Looks like he's done some matches.
Mon-El on Supergirl. I think I remember him on Supergirl. I only watched the ones... Maybe, you know, two seasons of it. And Mon-El. I kind of remember him. Let's see, though, something else that I'm going to really recognize. Well, I guess mainly just Supergirl. I remember seeing
the
him
Vampire
on that.
Diaries. He had a lot in the Vampire Diaries.
I didn't watch
it. I've not seen it either, but as far as like big name things that someone would have done, yeah. That was listed.
But
there.
I do remember he's got a good voice, so I think he'll make a good He-Man, and I hope he's really good at going between Adam and He-Man, you know? Because so far, the voice actors done He-Man have been fantastic at that, especially, you know, I love the previous voice was, wow, and I know, dang it. Because he was Leonardo, and he's done so many different things. Liquid Snake, and now I can't think of his name, and people are yelling it at their iPhones. But he was He-Man last time, and he was great at going between an Adam, because he was because when you watch the old Ninja Turtles, Leonardo, he started out with this kind of deeper voice, but then they wanted him to sound younger and younger as the series went, and so he went a bit of a lighter tone. And when you watch He-Man, he's got that lighter Leonardo as Adam, and then he switches down to He-Man. He's got that deep, and so.
Okay.
Yeah, he was a great He-Man. So this guy, yay! I'm excited. It sounds like a great cast. I can't wait to be able to watch this. But we have to wait, I guess, for a trailer, which that would be in the trailer park.
Mama, now the gator got in the house.
Now the gator? Give me that shovel. Come here.
Get him, Mom. Get that gator.
The Neverland Trailer Park.
We have more than a dozen active battlefronts, and we are losing nearly every one.
Let's take a small squad behind enemy lines. If we're going to find intel, it'll be there. What squad are we taking in? Clone Force 99. They call themselves the Bad Batch. These guys are clones?
The cavalry has arrived!
The defective clones with desirable mutations. Let's get to work.
Remember, this is a stealth mission.
So much for stealth. I don't like the look of this. This is a trap.
They don't stand a chance.
We're going down!
Let's finish what we started.
Okay, so now this is a weird trailer because it's a TV trailer, but I'm super excited. This Friday, February 21st, and, you know, following, I don't know how many, I think there's only like a handful of episodes, the final season of Star Wars, The Clone Wars, premieres on Friday. Yeah, I see you're not really, you know, you need to
watch. I didn't really
watch
much of it.
They do have on Disney Plus, and I started watching some, they have like the 20 episodes that you need to see of Clone Wars.
Mm.
And they are, the first one they watched was a great Yoda episode, and it's, oh man, it was an overall good series, but there were some really standout episodes, and I think they're the ones, because I do need to remind myself of some of those extra characters they came up with, but Friday. And we even got to see a little bit more of Wetsum's story. We're going to meet Squad 99. These are clones that, well, I'm going to call them like they had mutations almost. There was something that didn't quite go in the cloning process where they ended up different, but they ended up almost having like abilities. Like, so they're a specific squad because each one of them has like abilities they ended up with somehow or another that were like a fluke. So we're going to go around this new squad of Squad 99, I'm sure I'm not alone in this. I want to know what happened to Ahsoka in this time. So I want to get to see that, you know, get that in between before we see her in Rebels, because she's no longer a Jedi. And the way that all ended, you know, in Clone Wars for Ahsoka was, whoa, what the heck? You know, so I'm interested in that storyline as well. Friday! I'm trying to be excited with you, and you're like, okay.
I'm sorry.
We'll sit and watch some Clone Wars maybe this week and get you ready. Maybe on Friday you'll be interested to watch, because it was a good show. And so here we go. Finally, season 7. Now this next, okay, there's a teaser. There's no sense in playing any audio for you on this one, but we got a good look at Hopper at Stranger Things 4. And I found out about this because a hashtag jumped all over not necessarily Facebook, but Twitter. The hashtag, he's alive, which I kind of want to go back and see, you know, when I talked about, you know, after watching all of season 3, if I thought he was actually dead. I had a feeling he wasn't really dead, because then they even show him, like they had him locked in a cell in Russia, and Heather has not watched season 3. So
have no clue.
But I, looking at him, you know, he looks like he has lost some weight, which would make sense if he's been a prisoner and they're forcing him to work on the train thing, that he would have lost some weight and being a prisoner. So, of course, you know, I don't know if they, you know, they make how much they have him slim down, because he was kind of chubby, but he did put a lot of muscle on to play Hellboy, even though nobody saw that movie. So, but, you know, he's, you know, kind of a big guy. So, but yay. So Stranger Things season 4, no idea when it's coming, but it's coming. I'd say give up, you know, they're just teasing us that it is coming. Personally, it felt like season 3 was trying to wrap everything up, but they just, you know, they got some new storyline to go with. So I have a feeling it'll probably be maybe 2021. Maybe we'll see this. I don't expect to see it this year, because they've taken their time, and there's usually a couple of years in between each series. But I don't know. But they didn't say. I think they just wanted to be like, oh yeah, here's Hopper.
Time out! The Great Space Coaster will return after these messages.
Snap! What a happy sound. Snap is the happiest sound I've found. You may clap, rap, tap, slap, but snap makes the world go round. Snap, crackle, Rice Krispies. I say it's crackle, the crispy sound. You gotta have crackle or the clock's not wound. Geese cackle, feathers tickle, belts buckle, beats pickle, but crackle makes the world go round. Snap, crackle, Rice Krispies. I insist that pops the sound. The best is missed unless pop's around. You can't stop hopping when the cereal's popping. Pop makes the world go round. Snap, crackle, pop, Rice Krispies. Snap, crackle, pop, Rice Krispies. Kellogg's best to you.
Time in. Now back to the program.
Okay, so as we were saying, we were sitting at a buffet. We were eating Chinese buffet, which, all right, so this is, can I tell this funny story? Because it's cute. Okay,
yes.
So, like, you know, we're trying to realign our budget, because now we're in the house, and we're, you know, trying to figure out stuff, and I didn't see any money in the budget, really, that we could do much, and I was worried, but I had said before I left for work on Friday, well, maybe tonight, you know, if I get, you know, because I don't know if my paycheck's coming today or tomorrow, but maybe we'll go out to this place called Hunan Garden. You know, it's a Chinese restaurant that's really good, but I was worried that, you know, after I was kind of figuring the budget, I said, well, golly, I don't know if we can really go out, because that might get expensive, because they're not as cheap as they used to be, and blah, blah, blah. So we ended up going to Applebee's instead, and we still ended up spending $40 for dinner on Valentine's Day.
I don't need to confess that.
Well, still, you know, I'm trying to not overspend. You know, we're trying to, you know, pay attention to our money a bit better. We're trying to be better about this. So we were like, coming out of church today, we're like, well, okay, we can go for lunch. And I says, oh, you know, I suppose we go over to Asian Buffet, which is a pretty decent buffet. And I said, or we could go over here. And it was funny because you piped up and said, like, don't say we're going for Chinese and then take it away from me.
Yeah, don't do it Chinese and then take it away.
Yeah, which I thought, okay, maybe we think it's adorable, or maybe I think it's adorable, but y'all are like, oh, okay, whatever.
But I really like Chinese.
Yeah, I know, but I thought, oh, I need to get a t-shirt with that on it.
And he has done that more than once. We're like, well, maybe we can go. No, we're going to go somewhere else. No, tell me if we're going to go for Chinese. Don't bring it up if you're going to take it away from me.
That's how you said it exactly. Don't bring it up if you're going to take it away from me. I thought it was adorable and funny. So we're sitting at this, you know, a buffet, and we're having a talk. As I mentioned before, this started from the idea that I was going to do, oh, because, you know, before we get into that, I have a movie review for you.
Oh! There'll be spectacle, there'll be fantasy, there'll be derring do and stuff like you would never see.
Maybe a movie.
Yeah, we're going to be a movie.
Starring everybody.
And me.
Boy, I wish I were you people seeing this for the first time.
Kermit, I got a great picture of the chicken.
Oh, good.
So, we were going to talk some video game stuff, mainly because I went. Heather didn't want to come with me. She was not feeling very well, I guess, yesterday. So I went by myself to go see Sonic the Hedgehog. I want a spoiler-free review as best as I can. And let's just say right off the bat, this was fun. It was probably one of the better video game adaptions that they've done. You know, Detective Pikachu apparently was based off video game, and I'm not even a Pokemon fan. I thought Detective Pikachu was fun and cute, and I even bought the Blu-ray. And this is, I think, even better than Detective Pikachu was. This was just fun and cute, and Sonic has a few qualities, I think, similar to Stitch. But basically, what they've tried to do is, they went ahead for the concept that, you know, instead of pulling back, like if you watch the old Super Mario Brothers live action, it's like they didn't want to fully commit to what Super Mario Brothers really was, and they came up with a really bad idea to go in a different direction. They just said, you know, hey, this is what Sonic the Hedgehog is. He's a super speed blue hedgehog. So making him from another world, from another planet, works in this setup, and having him on Earth. And, you know, maybe they do follow a few tropes where, you know, alien comes to Earth, has to keep himself hidden a secret, makes a human friend, but then they have a road trip buddy movie adventure together. You know, so it kept following with that. But it worked. It really worked for this. And with even Dr. Robotnik is kind of a silly character, and they kept the fact his name is Robotnik. But Jim Carrey is full, I'm not going to say full Ace Ventura mode because, you know, Ace Ventura had a few things that, you know, not necessarily child-friendly, but it was kid-friendly, but it was full-tilt Jim Carrey the way those of us in the 90s remember him. Fun and hilarious as Dr. Robotnik, and yet just nasty and mean to where he's definitely the bad guy, but he's funny as the bad guy, too, so he's super enjoyable as Dr. Robotnik. And I cannot say enough good things about how much fun I had. I laughed, and it has some very cute, adorable moments. And just a lot of fun and a great cast. And go see it. You can take the whole family. There was only, I think, one cuss word in there, and it's almost muted completely out. But, I mean, they kept it. This was almost Pixar-level fun with almost as much heart. It was almost like Pixar. If Pixar wanted to make a Sonic the Hedgehog movie, this is almost what it would have been like. So, it's a big thumbs up from me. You should go. You should take the whole family, get your popcorn, and just smile and have fun at the movies and laugh together. And even if you've never played a Sonic the Hedgehog video game in your life, you don't need to have. It's just fun and silly and hilarious.
To Disney and beyond.
I can list out of like favorite Disney princesses. Ariel is number one. And one of the things that's come up with that is Planet Comic-Con is coming here in March. And Jodie Benson herself is coming. And I need to bring something for Jodie Benson to sign. Because Ariel is still my top number one Disney princess. Because she's the first one that I think had a... Well, there's been some personality in previous ones, but she had the most personality and was funny. I think she's even more fun as a human when she can't speak because she's the way she tries to communicate. And it's just very comical at times and when she makes some mistakes. But they really had to rely on her being able to express without speaking and the way they animate her. And she's just really, really a lot of fun. Of course, she's enjoyable before. And I really love Jodie Benson's voice anyway. But even they made the character still enjoyable even when she couldn't speak because of how she communicates and what they did with her face and very animated. She's just a fun, character. And you really liked Ariel too and wanted to be a mermaid.
Well, yeah, when I was a kid and like I mean I guess the Disney Renaissance, I think that's what they call it, you know, kind of came about. I think I was like maybe 9 or 10 or something like that, I think.
You'd have been 9 because 89 was...
Okay, yeah, I would have been 9.
But that depends if you saw it in the theater or saw it...
No, later. I saw it in the theater.
So yeah, you'd have been 9.
And anyway, so...
No, well, you could have been 10 because you were born in 79.
If it came out during Christmas, I would have been 10.
It might have.
Anyway, it didn't matter. 8 or 9. And so this was like probably like the first Disney princess that I felt like... I was like, whoa, yeah, this is really cool. And I loved Little Mermaid. Absolutely loved Little Mermaid. I wanted to be a mermaid. I really was like, can this thing work the opposite way? Like, if she can become a human, can I go back and become, like, a mermaid? Because I just love swimming in the water and everything like that. So that was probably, like, my first Disney princess, but it's not my top Disney princess. Like, because when I saw Beauty and the Beast, that Belle kind of eclipsed that. And part of that came from, I love... fairy tales. I love reading like the traditional, you know, source material for a lot of these, you know, movies and things like that that come out. Like, where did it actually come from? And I knew the story of Beauty and the Beast. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. So when it came to the theaters, you know, that was kind of... So Belle is actually my top...
That's your
one.
Number one.
That's my number one.
She's sitting in a... this is where we're still in the conversation. She sits in a tie in my number two with Rapunzel because I adore Rapunzel too.
And so I like Belle Rapunzel, awesome. But I just not, I don't know.
Not as much as you like.
Not as much as I like Belle. And Ariel is like right there, yeah. Like would be maybe like my number two, maybe. Yeah, if we're talking princesses.
Yeah. But Rapunzel, of course, you know, because she, I liked her optimism, her spirit of, because she's in, it's like she doesn't realize how bad things are for her, never having left that tower. But she just has this positivity, and even being, she doesn't seem bored, although the song's like, I'm doing this again, I'm sure there's more room to paint something else, you know, just, she's just dealing with her life the best she can, and then she gets a chance to go out into the world, and it's just fun watching her experience the world outside of her tower. And I still absolutely love the scene of going, this is best day ever, oh, I'm such a horrible person, that I love that whole scene. And even the way that she can go into like the ugly duckling and turn all that around, you know, like this horrible person. But, you know, haven't you guys ever had a dream? And she can just, like, just, Rapunzel's just awesome. And I love what she does with her hair when she whips around. They swing off of her hair. And this, she's just, was a lot of fun. So, but I can agree with you, like, Belle being pretty awesome. And I like her inquisitiveness. And she, you know, although she gets kind of into trouble doing it, trying to investigate a good mystery. And she is smart, you know, you did see that, mm-hmm. you know, because, you know, reading all the books and everything, and it's fun watching her kind of outsmart Gaston in her own ways mm-hmm. when dealing with, she's awesome, yes, but I guess we already talked about Belle, but she's awesome, but that's why I have that tie with Rapunzel, because they both are just have these fun qualities that I really adore, of both of them, they're just kind of fun, so, but I can't really, so from that point on, we were trying to figure out, like, classic princesses, where could we put, like, a number three and whatever, and blah, 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 blah. But they're like, well, yeah, well, there's all kinds of great females.
Yeah, we went back to, like, classic princesses, because ours tend to be the newer ones that yeah. came out when we grew up. We're trying to think of, like, you know, princesses that would have been, like, you know, like Walt Disney would have introduced, like, yeah. Snow White and Sleeping Beauty and Cinderella and that kind of thing. And yeah. we realized that there wasn't maybe a lot of princesses, even though there were female characters, you know, like Lady yeah. and the Tramp and, you know, like, then the Rescuers and...
throughout the long you know, history, there's lots yeah. of females, but they weren't all princesses.
Not all of them were princesses.
Yeah.
And so...
So there's actually very few Disney princesses, for as much as they get teased for the Disney princess trope. There isn't that many.
Mm-mm. And so then I kind of looked up, like, so what does it really take to be a quote-unquote Disney princess?
And this is, of course, you found, like, the marketing, yeah, the toys, was... their current conditions, which... I don't give a rat's rear end about any of that. I just like the Disney females.
Yeah, because there's characters that are female that I like that they're not necessarily princess like Alice. I mean, I love Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
And so Alice is not
a princess.
And she's
a neat character too.
She's very peculiar. She's just as peculiar yeah. as the land that she goes in, which I think yeah. is very much on purpose.
She has kind of a growing process in there because she imagines this world where anything is just exactly what it wouldn't be. And then when she gets in there and has it all full tilt, it's very frustrating. She grows up a little.
She kind of like, she gets what she asks for because she, at the beginning, now I'm talking about the cartoon one, not the live, you know, the more recent one, the cartoon one.
Which I can
so the cartoon one, she, you know, she starts talking to Kat like, no, if I had a world, it would all be nonsense. Like, you know, and everything would just be nonsense and nothing would make sense. And you would be able to talk Dinah like she's talking to her cat. And then when she gets what she wants, everything is nonsense, but it's almost too nonsensical. And she kind of has to learn that, okay, well, maybe, like, you know, complete nonsense maybe is not quite as much. When we were talking about, our princess kind of eclipsed into kind of female characters, we were just naming off princesses. And I came up with, because I love Brave. I think Brave is great. And we were talking about how, you know, we both really liked the queen character, and I'm trying to have a hard time remember her name.
Yeah, I can't think. I bet it's in this list. I was going to go through because it's easier, and there's an alphabetical list I'm looking at that has pretty much everyone, and we'll probably get to her later if we go through the list and we'll have her name.
But anyway, so she being actually a little more respectable, easy to respect kind of character. In Brave, rather than Merida. Merida is like kind of like the spoiled princess, basically.
She has to learn,
you know, bravery is not just about bows and arrows, that it can also be about what the mom is trying to teach her.
Angry warlords fighting over each other and being able to walk into the room and stop and bring peace.
Mm-hmm.
The queen was the brave one.
So, you know, and like Lady and the Tramp, you know, like that's characters that
you're hopping everywhere and I'm trying to get on the next one.
Well, that's the way our discussion went.
I'm trying to cover as many characters we really like. Cause yes, Lady is a spoiled princess in her own way too. And she has some growing up and learning a lot of things and a growth arc when she suddenly gets out there in a muzzle and out there on the street.
Her big redeeming thing is loyalty. She is loyal to her family.
That's true. But that's a dog.
Loyal to even this tramp that she just met and kind of, you know. Anyway, so moving on to...
But yeah, loyalty was one of the big factors of that film. It was dedicated to dogs and the loyalty and how great they are. But I'm starting to go down this alphabetical order list. And I found, well, here's Atta from A Bug's Life. There's Atta. A princess. Yeah. Yes.
But I guess one of the official princesses...
Was Bonnie Hunt did voice Atta in that one even?
I think it was.
Because Bonnie Hunt did a lot of great
Because there for a while, Pixar had certain characters that always had to be in there. And I
like Atta because she's trying to grow as a leader and trying to be, you know, because she's going to become the new queen. Mm-hmm. And she's got to deal with Flick.
Her and Flick are actually very similar in many ways.
Of trying to prove themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Atta is a pretty cool character. I like Atta. Mm-hmm. I like the little girl too, Dot. She's just cute.
Dot's cute, yeah.
She's cute.
And then there one that came up.
You already mentioned Aurora.
Yeah, one that came up that while we were talking was like Bianca from The Rescuers.
Yes.
And I actually, as a kid, I was able to watch this in the movie theaters. It was one of the first animated.
Bernard. We couldn't remember Bernard's name, but just Bernard. Quick.
But anyway, Bianca, I like Bianca because she's just, you know, is a mouse, but she's the brave one. And because Bernard's always a little reluctant and everything.
Yeah, because he's never done this sort of thing. Mm-hmm. He kind of gets pulled into it by accident. And Bianca's just like, we're having an adventure. Isn't it wonderful, Bernard? You know, that kind of thing. You know, she's just, everything's great and wonderful in Bianca land.
Yep.
She's like, oh, we're going to go and save the little girl. And Bernard's just like trying to keep up. But I love Bernard mainly because, I mean, Bob Newhart,
yeah, you got to love.
You got to love Bernard just for that.
Love Newhart, yep.
I haven't watched that in a long time. We're going to pull that one out and watch. We did kind of mention the blue fairy in Pinocchio. She's not in there much, but for the brief time she's in there, she's a really neat character.
And that's another one, too. If you go and actually read the story, the blue fairy plays a much more integral role in everything. But we also talked about how like the original fairy tales are not...
Yeah, I like the movie
necessarily
better.
Ending...
I listened to the audiobook of Pinocchio, and I love the movie much better. Yeah. Which we did kind of mention, like Esmeralda, Hunchback of Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. You might not enjoy the book at all. It's rough, dies, but I don't want to read it because of, you know, but I love that movie. And Esmeralda was a pretty cool character.
Yeah, and in the book she wasn't. Yeah, anyway, we could talk about books versus, you know, but yeah, it they're very different. And
she's not quite a Disney princess, and apparently they tried to make her a part of the Disney princess line, but she didn't sell very well.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, maybe little girls didn't like her. I thought she was pretty cool, though. And
well,
she
had a good heart. I don't know if The Hunchback was as a big a success. Kid movie.
It wasn't really.
And yeah, no, it was.
It was very different. It was very grown up and it was dark.
It was darker.
But it's so. I think a lot of the kids have grown up. Can come back and watch it and really find a lot of stuff they can enjoy about it now. But people mm-hmm. who were, you know, kids at the time, I don't know if they would have gotten it because there are some mm-hmm. serious darker themes to that. And it's such a great movie. I loved it the first time I watched it.
It came out about the same time that she got these juggernauts like, you know,
it was
Beauty and the Beast and you know, Little Mermaid. And then, like, this is their next thing, you know, they're going to do. I don't remember exact order, but it's about that time. So when
it's post Pocahontas,
yeah, when it doesn't turn out quite as well as you know they,
but it's such a great movie.
Yeah,
I don't think I've ever come across anybody who didn't like it.
And I tell Jeremy, you know, I seem like it all the time, like the guy who voiced him sing for Quasimodo. Really, I love his voice; it's so great.
And Bo Peep, I think, became more of a character here lately with Toy Story 4, which you still haven't seen. We're gonna have to go watch that one.
Yeah.
And even with the Lamp Life, but you know, Annie Potts is just an adorable type. Fun person anyway. Mm-hmm. Even when she's playing like there's like two versions of Janine Melnitz, really, because the first movie she's like this grumpy, but she's fun as a grumpy, like, yeah, Ghostbusters, what do you want, you know? Mm-hmm. And then you get like a completely different Janine in the second Ghostbusters. I don't know why, but Annie Potts is just always fun, and I love her as Bo Peep, and she got to do a lot more in Toy Story 4, and I really liked her in that one. And Lamp Life was really, really fun, which I didn't have you have watched because I don't want to spoil anything because you need to watch Toy Story 4.
Okay.
So, all right, moving on. I've got to throw that. Isn't it Cheek Shot? But the wife, and I can't think of the actress's name who played that wife, but she was a fun character.
The Emperor's New Groove.
Yeah, did like her. Did definitely like her. All right, so Cinderella. One thing I like Cinderella is she's an embodiment of hope.
Yeah.
She's as down as she could get, mm-hmm. but she has hope mm-hmm. and has a great song about dreams, but then she wakes up. Oh, but yeah, you gotta love Cinderella mm-hmm. and brilliantly voiced, and even the song she has with the when she's screaming the scene, and when she's singing the Sing Little Nightingale,
mm-hmm.
the voice actors that did that was great.
I'm gonna throw one like okay. So, I know the Black Cauldron kind of did not turn out quite as well as you know maybe those of us who love the book had hoped and people that made the movie as hoped. But Ilanwe as a character, I love Ilanwe, and
I like her better in the books.
Yes, you need to read the books for the Black Cauldron because it doesn't even start with the Black Cauldron; it starts with the Book of Three. So I appreciate their attempt to try to draw attention to that book series because it is an amazing book series. But Ilanwe is one of those princesses because she is a princess.
Yeah.
That doesn't make the princess status, if you will.
Yeah, but they're talking about trying to do it again, but maybe live action, so maybe she can get that Disney princess movie.
Yeah.
But do we want to say anything for Duchess of Aristocats? I know you love that movie.
Yeah, I like Duchess, and of course is it Ava Gabor? I think it was Ava Gabor that voices it, which is perfect.
She's also Bianca, I believe.
Yes, and so it's perfect. It's a cute film about cats.
I haven't watched that long. I've only watched it once, I think, with you. We own it.
Yeah, we own it.
Need to watch that one again, too.
It is cute.
But then, before Ilanwe is on the list, Elastigirl, Helen Parr, gotta love her, because, you know. Elastigirl or Mrs. Incredible, I guess. I go with Elastigirl more. She is a really cool character.
She's very spunky. I don't always like her as much as maybe...
She has that complete mother tone that I understand her as that mother. Mm-hmm. But my favorite bit is when she is sneaking into the base in the first Incredibles.
Yeah.
And you have some just fun moments where she's getting stuck indoors when she mm-hmm. looks, you know, checks herself in the mirror. And then, how cool, she flaps herself in the ceiling and then getting hit. But her whole sneak in and everything she does is just super cool. Like, doing the swing across on the trains. I mean, come on. She was pretty awesome. I like Elastigirl. Mm-hmm. So, moving right along, I'm going to skip Elsa. Eva!
Yeah.
From Wall-E.
That's cute.
I like Wall-E better than Eva.
Well, I do.
Eva was a fun character, though.
Eva's the one that she changes a lot during it.
She really does.
Wall-E stays consistent. He's still the same sweet, adorable robot. Like
although we almost lose him.
And he causes change throughout, but Eve's probably one of the ones. That is, other than the captain, like this, the biggest change like, in the whole thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if she'd be at the top of my
list. She's not on top of the list, but we're not going a list anymore. We're just going in like some of the ones that we just love. Oh, the fairy godmother from Cinderella. You gotta love her.
Mm-hmm.
You do. And, you know, the live action was not bad, but the original animated, you know, come on. That's great.
I'm jumping down. We got a list in front of us of, like, everything, but I...
But there's so many great characters. We talked about Giselle a little bit, but Giselle was almost a parody. I just love Amy Adams. Amy Adams, she's just fun.
We don't have time to go through the whole list.
Yes, we do. I'm not going to do every single one on the list, but I'm picking...
But Jane...
I always liked Honey Lemon on Big Hero 6, too.
Oh, she was cute.
She's just adorable, and I like her chemical mixed stuff. I don't know. Mm-hmm. She's just, in the comics, she's very different because she can open portals and grab what she needs out of portals.
Oh, interesting.
So, and it's a very, very different thing. Mm-hmm. But I like the adapting of, you know, it's like a Marvel movie that's not part of any Marvel stuff. Where they're having her chemical things that she can put all these chemicals and have these little element bombs. That was cool. I liked Honey Lemon.
I actually liked Honey Lemon and her powers a lot better than the other girl that it was very... You know, very spunky and very, I liked Honey Lemon better because, you know, it's just cleverness and, So anyway, on to Jane.
Jane Porter from Tarzan. Yay. And Daddy, they took my boot.
Yeah. See, that opening scene where she like meets Tarzan is like the best. Where they first meet. I guess it's not the opening, but her introducing into the story.
Yeah. And she's a great character and everything. She kind of got that smart new biology smart from what they knew at the time. Mm-hmm. And it's just a great character. Do we want to talk too much about Jasmine? Jasmine's cool. But...
Jasmine is good. She's another Disney princess. She's not one. I tend to look princesses that I can identify with. Like when we're talking princess, like Belle, I can identify that with because I love my books and I like my studiousness and sometimes I get myself into trouble and I don't mean to, you know.
And Jasmine's cool in her own way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she is. It's
not one of my tops. Jessica Rabbit, though, you gotta love Jessica Rabbit because you never know what she's up to. She was just that cool character. I like Jessica Rabbit.
I mean, she served a purpose, and like she has some funny gags, but I don't know.
Not bad. She's just drawn that way. But I like it when the first time you watch it, you don't know what's going on with her. You don't know whether to trust her or not. And then when she meets back up towards the end, you realize she was trying to help Roger this whole time and just doing weird ways, like hitting him with a frying pan because she was trying to hide him. Mm-hmm. You know, she's just, come on, Jessica Rabbit. She's fun. But she's more fun because I want to see more stuff with just her and Roger together because they're just such an odd couple. I love them. Just because they're weird. Because you got to love Roger.
Yeah, I like Roger.
Yeah. I just, the two of them together, it's such a funny thing that, you know, it's just cool. Like Jessie in Toy Story 2.
We mentioned Jessie, in our discussion too.
Yeah, because Jessie is just, she's just fun Jessie and rootin' tootin' and fun.
Mm-hmm.
So. I do love Kanga and Winnie the Pooh. Kanga's just fun. She's very motherly. Lucy Pevensey. I like her better in the books.
Mm-hmm. They did.
She's not my favorite character of in the books, though.
I really like her. Now of course this is in reference to like the Chronicles of Narnia that Disney did.
Yeah.
And I thought the actress
did pretty good.
Did good. I really enjoyed Lucy.
Yeah, she did good. I still like the character better in the books, but she's not my favorite character of the books.
Who's your favorite character in the books? Aslan is awesome. Like,
I really actually like Reepa Cheep a lot too. I loved Reepa Cheep.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't get to, I think, do as much with Reepa Cheep because they did. Well, no, they got into the Dawn Treader, didn't they? And that one turned out pretty good. But the movies were not as good as the books.
Well, you got it.
I love the story arc, though. Also, I mean, because there's so many other characters besides the Pevensies that they never got into.
I kind of like Puddle Glum.
I love Puddle Glum,
too. I got a soft spot for Puddle Glum.
Yeah. But, the Horse and His Boy, Shasta.
I don't know. He's that's probably the most book.
He's the most relatable character, I think, to me. I understand him. Mm-hmm. But I want a good movie of that. All right, but I want to keep sliding along here because Mary Poppins.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have to say anything? It's Mary flipping Poppins.
Practically perfect in every way.
Yes. You got to love Mary Poppins. I mean, that's still my favorite Disney live action.
Now, you like Megara, don't you?
I like her, I think like I like actress, that song.
The song, yeah.
That song. Well, again, the actress played Belle. Meg is kind of a neat character, but I love that song. I won't say I'm in love. That's the mm-hmm. best song in the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I wasn't going to jump on it. I was like, well, yeah, that's a good one. Let's see. But sliding along. There's a cat meowing in the background.
Mulan. We got to stop at Mulan.
Oh, yeah, you have to be able to mention Mulan. Mulan is a cool character.
Mulan is one of the ones that's like an official princess, even though she's not a princess.
She's not at all.
Because
but they put her in the official.
Yeah, movie. Because she's done something like really, yeah. you know, awesome. And
I like in the cartoon she uses her smarts because they're impossible odds. They're not going to win that battle, but she gets mm-hmm. smart and causes that avalanche.
Well, and I like it too. I don't know. Maybe this is me getting on my soapbox a little bit. But physically, women can't do all the things that guys do, even in like a combat situation. And people will be mad at me for this, but I like the way that she overcomes it with her brains.
Yeah,
that it's not, she doesn't have to physically compete, but she can mentally compete and still do great things. Like I really like Mulan. Mulan's one of my
she's pretty darn awesome.
One of mine that's really up there.
Oh, they have Peggy Carter.
Yes.
Peggy Carter.
Love Peggy Carter.
I don't know if we need to say any more. Peggy Carter was awesome.
I did not get through the second season.
I didn't either, but I think it's on Disney Plus. We need to watch
that. I really loved her.
Yeah, she was pretty awesome. And I think they're going to be doing some more with it. There was somebody else I saw on the list. We already but there we go. Queen Eleanor was
Eleanor,
the one.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. We already talked about Rapunzel. I remember Rita being pretty cool in All Her Company. Not enough to where I'm just going to jump out. Sally
makes
is the hero of
Nightmare Before Christmas. Yeah.
She's the only one that really got the Christmas thing. She didn't realize that she got Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, because she's showing some care and some love to Jack and making that whole gift for her. And that's when she gets the vision of the tree thing. Because she's, and I love the way Santa says, she's the only one around here that makes any sense. I'm like, mm-hmm. go with Sally. I love Sally. Because following, when I first watched it, when you try to follow Jack's story, he's the one that ruins Christmas.
But he's looking for love, but he doesn't understand
that's why he doesn't really understand Christmas. He doesn't understand love, even though he gets a great sign of it. And I love when he gets the quiz that it does this poof little thing for him, you know, but Sally does get it. So I think they learn from that. And that's awesome. So, yes, Sally's the real hero of that because Jack is, you know, he destroys Christmas.
Wait, I haven't seen Tiana yet. Oh, it's coming.
Yeah, well,
I like Tiana.
Tiana was pretty. I like that she was a hard worker, but she had to learn more about
Tiana is actually up there for me for Disney princesses. She really is.
She's pretty awesome. Yeah.
I really, really like Princess and the Frog.
It is definitely a good movie.
I wonder. Okay, now
she is.
They have listed here as a sprite for Fantasia, and I'm not sure which sprite they're talking about.
There's a whole bunch of them. I think they're just being generic. But
I love the fairies in Fantasia, like all over.
Well, here we go. Tinkerbell. Yay! I prefer her when she's just tinkles and you don't understand what she says. I haven't watched any of the ones where she's got a voice. But I guess it makes sense she has a voice in those because she's talking to other fairies, so other fairies would understand her.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. But Tinkerbell, because it just went right out of my head. The lady who was, I've got
model
to talk to
for,
her.
Model for her.
Who did all the stuff. Mm-hmm. Why did that jump out of my head? And I even just replayed the audio last week. And then Margaret Carey. Because Margaret Carey is just such a delight. And she is just Tinkerbell.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, Margaret Carey just embodies Tinkerbell and just had that little spunk and attitude and sense of fun and adventure. That's Tinkerbell. And even though she's kind of a problem in the movie, she's a bit of an antagonist because of her jealousy. But she's just such a fun character. You gotta love Tinkerbell. Just because Tinkerbell. And then moving along here. Violet's kind of a neat character. Vixie's kind of a neat character. Wendy from Peter Pan, you know. Wendy's cool. Because it's Wendy.
I don't know if people realize it, but that name actually was generated from that book. It did not exist until the author wrote Peter Pan. Wendy is a name that he entirely made up.
But one other one I'm going to go over here because she is also an enjoyable female character is Ursula. And I'm not thinking of where they got it. They're pulling from George of the Jungle, which it's still a fun movie.
You're talking about the villain.
I'm talking about Ursula.
Ursula, the villain.
She was one of the coolest villains. Let's face it. She really is.
We could do
an entire show on villainesses.
Villains, yeah.
Yeah, because I could pull in the animated version of Maleficent back in. Because she's also one of those villainesses that was just so cool. And I love you because you're an embarrassment to the forces of evil. You know? She's awesome. But so there's, other than heroines, we could go into villains and villainesses and do an entire show on that as well. But I think we had some fun covering at least all these things that we like about all these great characters. And there's more we probably could have mentioned, but we tried to do speed through. Because we don't want to, we can't talk about every one of them, but we do have some favorites. But what are some of your favorites? Why don't you send us an email and let me know what some of your favorite characters. If we didn't mention your favorite, because there's some neat characters in Atlantis, and that's one of those, you know, often overlooked. I need to maybe watch it again.
Well, we even, in our discussion, we even kind of went into...
You mentioned Kida.
Male characters, too. Like, I love Raymond.
Oh, we'll do that some other
Raymond.
Time.
I love the...
Ray, yeah, little Ray. Raymond,
you just call me Ray?
Yeah. There's a lot of great male characters, and maybe we'll do that sometime, too.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. And villains, there's just running through characters. It's just a fun conversation. I hope y'all enjoyed it. And like I said, send me an email. If we didn't mention yours, let me know. What's one of your favorite characters that we didn't mention? You're one of your favorite ladies, female characters that is a heroine in her own way. And even if she doesn't seem like the hero, she actually is, like Sally.
And they don't have to be human. They can be
animals. They don't have to be human. I see, because Nala, we kind of discussed Nala because she was on some sort of list. But Nala, she's pivotal, but she's not one of my tops.
Yeah.
So, because, you know, she definitely gets things rolling in The Lion King. But anyways, let us know and, you know, comment, you know, send us an email. Leave us a review on iTunes. And everything.
Thank you for listening to the Neverland Podcast.
We invite you back next week for more fun and adventure.
Until then, remember to keep a pixie in your pocket.
It's that young at heart, positive attitude that you can share with others.
And remember to visit our website at neverlandpodcast.com.
There you can find links to our news page, our shop,
our contact page, where you can easily send an email to podcast@neverlandpodcast.com.
You can also find our Neverlanders page, where you can find out how to become an official Lost Boy or Pixie, because girls are too clever to get lost.
Become a real Neverlander.
Please feel free to leave us a voicemail at 816-226-6492.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at NeverlandPcast.
And like our Neverland Podcast fan page on Facebook.
We also have a group on Facebook for you to join.
We also appreciate your support to keep the Neverland Podcast up and running.
Visit patreon.com/neverlandpodcast to donate to keeping the pixie dust alive.
Copyright content featured on the Neverland Podcast is copyright of their respective creators and used under fair use license.
All original content is copyright of Blue Band Productions, and a very special thanks to Yeehaw Bob Jackson at yeehawbob.com for our new ending music.
God bless!
Yeah! Hello everybody, this is Yeehaw Bob Jackson. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, it's true. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Yeah!
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.